bread of men. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. It feels really good here tonight. You know, it's always that way when there's just worship to God, and it's not about just that we're here, but we're here and we're offering up something to Him. And, you know, we always say this, God inhabits praise, but the thing about it is, it's an awesome thing when we get to this place together like this, and I forget about my problems. I really do. I forget about needs, and I just think, Lord, you're really the focal point of all of this. And it puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Puts everything right in the right order. Amen. God is good. Class is dismissed, and the rest of you may be seated. And, well, I'm excited about things that God is doing, and victories that we've seen, and hurdles we've made it past. We just serve a mighty God, and He's mindful of any little thing that's tripping you up or bothering you. He's mindful of it, and He's on your side. And I want to go to Isaiah 40 and 29 and kind of meander through a few verses there. I don't want to talk tonight about heroes of waiting. And that title is just simply to give you a focal point to aim at with me. Because I don't really think there's any one of you here that is professional waiters. I don't mean in a restaurant. I mean of waiting. You haven't gotten your degree in waiting. Not waiting upon someone, but just we don't like to wait. And even the word waiting room is meaning you're going to sit there. You're going to a place you don't want to go. And I was years ago, I was at a chiropractor's office, and I was sitting in that place, and it was oldest building in the state, I think, or at least in Lakeland. It was really like a throwback. And the chairs, to be a chiropractor's office, it's made me think if you don't have back trouble when you get here, you will by the time you wait. And it's just that way. And I understand it could be my age. And the other day I was at another chiropractor's office because time goes on and got another doctor. And he helped me, by the way. I mean, I left better. Just one visit and I'm good. I wish everything was that easy. Went to Chick-fil-A twice yesterday. So, you know, they didn't do it right. They did it right. I just had to go back for my wife later on. But I thought, I'm here twice. Amen. And yeah, that's great. But I was at the chiropractor's office, and again, I'm sitting in a chair that made me feel like I'm hurting, but I wonder how much I'd hurt if I wasn't hurting because this chair is so uncomfortable. A waiting room, they don't make them to make you want to camp out, I guess. I told my wife, I said, I think they design furniture so that you'll really want to just get up and leave quickly. You don't want to be in here very much. You don't want to hang out. We don't like waiting. That's the thing. Even if it's in a waiting room, you know, take a number. I don't like that word. Take a number. It just means you're going to be there a while. Deli meat, whatever it is at Publix, take a number. And you know, it's the number is always too far down the list. Isaiah 40 says in 29, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, the ones that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. That's Bible. That's there. It's set in stone. It's the Word of God. You'll renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. All of that just because you've waited upon the Lord. And the waiting period means there's a payoff coming. There's a payoff. Who would go to a waiting room and sit there just because? And they say, who are you waiting on? I'm just here to wait. You have an appointment? Nope, don't want one. I just want to wait. Your chairs are uncomfortable, but I want to sacrifice myself. No, we wait on the Lord, not just because we have nothing to do, but we know that He will reward us in due season. And we'll renew, and that word, I'll get into it later, but we renew our strength. And waiting really is a part of the battle. We do it a lot in life, and it really is a part of the battle. We live in a hero and superstar society, sports figures, Hollywood, entertainers of all sorts, musical and so forth. It's all about the people that ascend, and They're in the limelight. It's been that way for decades and perhaps centuries. And the news is made really during the season, not so much the off season. Heroes, the sports figures, it's the season when they shine. Anything happens in the off season, you know, this one was traded to that team. They bought rights to this one. And those aren't really that newsworthy unless it's your favorite team. But the news is made whenever the heroes are at bat or catching the ball. That's, you know, when they, we live in a society that rallies around these people and what they do and their heroics. But in the culture of God's kingdom, it's not about it's not about giant killers. It's about the ones who were truly in the right place at the right time and continue to abide in the right place, because it's always time to abide in that right place. It's always time. Amen. David slew a giant, but he didn't carry that sling around with him all the time, just saying, you know, who's next. But he became a leader, became a warrior. But it's not about the people that David killed. It was that he was a man after the heart of God. That's the moniker about David, not the giant killer. Even though it was wonderful that he did in his battle exploits, he never lost a battle to the Philistines, and he was always conquering, never lost. But he was a man after God's heart. That was the thing that God cared about. That's what God loves about us, is that we wait for His help to come. That we wait for His answers to come. That our life is all about Him and not about us. It's a God-centered life, and my life must revolve around God, because, amen, I'm waiting on the Lord at all times. But it's today in this culture, I can tell you, I've been at my share of rallies as a young man, and youth rallies and camp meeting services and such, and I would go to those services, and it would be exciting, and it should be, and it was a rally. We rallied our support, and felt like I could leave there, and I was looking for my giant to kill. But something happens after the dismissal, and I go out and get in my car, and I may go out with friends and restaurant and eat. And then I go home by myself, and I don't have that preacher up there anymore, and I don't have the thunderous roar of approval as they all shout amen and stand to their feet or come down to the front. That's not there anymore. And then it gets down to where we really live most of the time, and that is we live in a place of waiting on the Lord. In our own individual lives, we live in a place where we're waiting on the Lord. And the challenge, you know, at those services, and I love the services, that we need those. They tell us where the high mark is, and camp meetings and youth camps. Man, go to as many as you can. They're all good. Youth conference and the North American Youth Conference we're having this year is in another stadium, and it sold out in like 10 minutes. They had to add rows or levels, and it was amazing, and it's going to be another awesome summer for that, and it's going to start, and it's going to be great, and it's going to end, and it's great. We need to go if we can, and I say we, you all need to go. Knock yourself out. I did my part. But then it's after the fact. It's after that service. What are we going to do? And are we going to walk on water? Or are we going to slay our giant? We can be used. I'm not saying let's not sign up to be used by God. We can do great exploits. But mainly, day after day, what our life is going to consist of most of the time is waiting on God to answer the prayers that we've prayed. And He will come through. Oh, He will come through. He's a prayer answering God. But we're going to do more standing still than we are shouting around the walls of Jericho. Amen. We're going to do more standing or praying in the prayer room than a sling at Goliath's forehead. Most of our time is going to be spent waiting and praying and getting ready for God to do things. We're going to be more in preparation. And that's a great life to live. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to say, well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. No. I want to encourage you today, youth. We got the youth in here. I want to encourage them. I want to encourage all of us. It's a great thing to wait on the Lord. Amen. It is a great thing to wait on the Lord. Sometimes I wish, you know, people would have said, you're going to leave here tonight and you're going to go back to your church and you're going to be on time on Sunday. Woo! I figured somebody would be running about then. You're going to fill out a tithing envelope, and you're going to pay your tithes, and you're going to pay offering. You're going to give to the Lord. You're going to walk up to the front at the end of service, and you might pray, and you might not. That's mundane. That's ordinary. But you realize that's where we usually are, is in the parameters of what's just ordinary. I hope I'm not disappointing anyone tonight. You realize most of our existence with God is not going to be slinging a stone at a giant. We're going to have the moments that are great and awesome, but we must get real good at waiting on God. I'm waiting on Sunday. Are you? I'm waiting for Sunday. And when Sunday comes, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be waiting on God to move. And I'm going to be waiting on God to heal you. And I'm waiting on God to fill you. And I'm waiting on God to be your helper. But I'm going to be waiting on God. That's the thing. And He comes through when we wait on the Lord. That's the awesome thing about it. God comes through when we wait on Him. If a Christian, you know, is not good at waiting, that person is going, they're going to struggle. We have to be good at waiting, or we're going to struggle. Most of what we do is about being faithful in all areas of our life when nobody is watching us. What we're doing when no one's around, that's who we are. Amen. It's not right here on the putting on the tie and the jacket and saying, this is me. I haven't been dressed like this all day. Yesterday I spent up here working, and I enjoyed it. But I'm glad you all weren't sitting out there. That would have been kind of awkward. What have you done lately? You don't want us sitting there watching you, because it's just life. It wasn't heroic. We didn't need a microphone for what we do most of the time. You know, waiting renews our strength. It empowers us to fly, to run, to walk. Waiting is necessary, but that's where we renew. That's where we develop. You know, show me somebody who can't wait, and I'll show you someone who's probably not here any longer. Truly, we've got to learn to wait on the Lord if we're going to survive. We've got to learn to wait on our answer, because some of you have questions you've asked God. You need your answer. You have dilemmas you're going through. You need God to show up. And we wait on God to do that. You ever noticed He'll show up in two ways? He may come immediately and answer your prayer, or it may be on the installment plan, little at a time, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Lord, I don't care how you do it. You know, if I had my druthers, Lord, I would rather you go ahead and load it up real quick in a wheelbarrow and just give me the whole thing now. But He doesn't do that, does He? No, He doles it out as we need it, because He's a very wise God. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions. I'm encouraging everybody tonight. I tell you, this is just so upbeat. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. All of the afflictions that you go through, listen, it says He delivers you out of all of the afflictions. Wait a minute, I'm still in one. Guess what? You're about to win. Your number's about to be called, because He delivers you out of all the afflictions. Amen. And you have to understand what comes under that category of afflictions. What gets you down? What separates you? What troubles you? Afflictions. God delivers us. The good thing about knowing that is we don't have to look for man to do it, because God, He will use people. Yes, He can. But on His own, He didn't use anybody. Look it up. He didn't use anybody when He made the world. When he brought forth light, He didn't say, please take this extension cord. He just said, let there be. But God uses people. He uses obedience. The New Living Translation says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Amen. We face a lot of troubles, but He's there. So trouble is going to come, but so is God, and He will be there every time. Trouble turns us back to God. Amen. God knows how to get your attention and draw you back to Him, doesn't He? You know, it's one of those human things that we get a little bit lifted up and a little bit, you know, I don't know, you might get a little little money and a little freedom and a little this and that, and before long, we've purchased our way out of God's hands, and we're like, I got this. I can do this. It's like when you're trying to ride a bike. You know, the thing I kept wanting to say is, turn loose, I got it. Turn loose, I got it. I did until I ran into bushes. I mean, I could ride, but I couldn't turn. That was next. And what the Lord is saying is, let me just do what I've got to do. Wait on me. Let me be the one that's going to, you know, take you through the things you have to go through. Amen? When Israel was doing well, and I know this happened over and over again, they were doing well and living off the fat of the land, their heart would turn away from God and they would turn toward idols. And it's hard for us to even comprehend that that was the attraction, that was the desire, that they wanted little carved items. And they would just be no bigger than that, some of them. They'd put them in their home, and that's what they would worship. It might be an animal of some sort or some figurine, and they would give it qualities and say, this is what brought us out. This is what's going to feed us. And God hated that, obviously, because they gave the glory and the credit to this item that was made out of silver, gold, or even just stone. The Lord knew their hearts. That was the culture of where they were from. That was the culture of Egyptians and the Canaanites. And he said, when you build an altar, and Joshua told the people, when you build an altar, do not take a tool and don't try to shape that altar to the size you want, because I know what's in your heart. What he meant, what he was saying is, if you start taking a chisel and a hammer, you're going to start shaping it like an animal or some other being, and you're going to worship it and give it credit for the good things that's happening to you. You got a man here that needs to have a sunny day to plant seeds, and a man here that needs a rainy day because he's already planted seeds, and they both pray to that stone idol and say, give us rain. The other one says, give me sunshine. One of them is going to get their prayer answered. So what the Lord is saying is, I don't want you talking to rocks and giving them credit for something, because that means you're not going to ever have a relationship with me. And it's easy to let things leave them up to chance and just say, well, Lord, life is that way sometimes and I'll handle my problems. But really, God loves for us to give them to him. He's real good at handling our problems. Let me just tell you, he's a professional at taking your issues and just turning them around for you. I'm glad I serve a prayer answering God. Amen? Now, with his Spirit living in us, you know, we can feel the tug of God drawing us at times toward him every day. It allows us really to live in this life with the blessings that God's provided us. And I thank God for it. And, you know, and we're faithful to him. When we're faithful, God will bless us consistently. And I've even seen God bless people that were off track. I've seen God bless them because he was hoping they would find their way back. Sometimes that happens. And I would think, the blessings of God are in your life. What are you messing up for? But that's the love of God. He just keeps on loving and loving and loving, because he's a God that understands us, and he wants us to turn back around and say, thank you, God. Our finances get afflicted. Now, hold on. Don't judge me. Our finances get afflicted when we pay tithes. Okay? You don't have that much anymore. You afflict your money when you write a tithing check and you give offering. But that affliction buys you so much more than what you just took out to give. That affliction is what caused the rest of that percentage to grow and you to have more. We've proven it over and over again. I'm not here to try to convince anybody of that. But see, that is a measure of saying, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to give first the first fruits to you, and that's yours, and I'm going to live off the rest of it. That's faith in God, and God will reward us for that. Amen. And I've even seen God be very merciful, waiting on somebody to get it, and they will, and God's merciful. And then sometimes, you know, he has to spank us a little bit. That's another Bible study. Matthew 24 and 12 and 13. This is the New Living Translation. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he'll be saved. Our love can grow cold, and our relationship will grow cold, he said. But the one that endures to the end, it's the endurance. Circumstances can cause us to back up. Circumstances can cause us to lose heart. But if we endure, if we continue faithful, God will come through. And here's the thing. I was praying about this today, and I realized there's times that we pray for something, but we don't see how in the world God's going to change things. How in the world can God come through? We've examined it, and Lord, you don't fit into this. It's just no possible way. Unless you spoke another world into existence and you just transfer me to that one. Can God do that? He could, but you know, I've never seen it done. We have to trust that a God that has no options we can see already has another move lined up. Oh, he's a God of those moves. He can do something that you never saw coming. I'm sorry to tell you this if you think that, you know, you're at a dead end and God can't do it. I've already seen him over and over and over provide in ways that I said, Lord, how in the world? I don't see how you can. And I've been surprised again and again and again. And now I just say, Lord, if I'm staring, I'm at the end of a hallway and it's bricked in and there's no windows, there's no door, and I have to go that way. Now I know that God's about to create a door there because he's done it in the past and I know he's going to do it again. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. God will do it again. This race that we're in is a race of endurance, not speed. It's not to the swiftest, because I'll tell you what, we've been discouraged by swift runners. We get discouraged by those that are swift. Pass us up. Super spiritual. Prophesying. And we're just trying to get just a little bit of help. Lord, I'm dying over here. Give me a drink of water. And one of these super Christians goes running past you and you wonder, how in the world? We've all been passed by them. They made us feel slow, carnal. They seem to be in touch with God on a deeper level. You know, so much spiritual knowledge and perception. But you know, it's like that old story of the tortoise and the rabbit, or the hare, whatever you call him. The turtle just plodded along. And you know, when I first heard the story, I remember it was one of the little books, somebody was reading it. I was pulling for the turtle. I had a feeling he was going to, I just had a feeling, because you know, if it had been the hare just took off running and won, it would have been a short book and it wouldn't have been that interesting. So I'd been around golden books a little bit, a little golden books. And I thought, yeah, there's a twist on this one. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but that rabbit got distracted. And the tortoise, because he was consistent. He was consistent. As a young person, I remember youth camps. And there was these ones, hyper-spiritual supermen that just, they were my age, but they seemed to have already the gift of everything. You ever heard of anybody with the gift of everything? And I wondered, how did you get to be such a Superman spiritually, and here I'm struggling. I just want to live for God. I want to make to heaven, and being a teenager is not the easiest thing in the world, and they've just got it all. They've got it all. But before long, you find out they weren't all that. No, they just had a facade. Their facade was better than mine, is better than yours. Facades don't get you anywhere, really. That's just a show. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Again, I'm not backsliding, but again, this is the New Living Translation. I actually read the whole Bible in the New Living Translation one time, just to check it out. You know, you got to know the truth when you're going to read one of these translations. But I've observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. Sometimes you're not there because they don't come and tell you about it, but sometimes the wise go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy, and those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It's all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. That's the scripture that says, time and chance happeneth to all. Being at the right, there's some people that just stumble upon opportunities, and you're like, that never happens to me. Hey, we're heroes of waiting. We're God's people, and he gives us grace to stand. And when you've done all, stand. Just stand. When you've done it all, just that's it. Just stand. And this is true, but it's about life. Not necessarily kingdom living, though. God expects and gives us more. Isaiah said he gives power to the weak, and those without might, he increases strength. So that's a promise right there. You don't have the ability. You're the one. You qualify. God will give you strength. Amen. He'll give you peace about your situation. You know, when you're young, you think that you have the full scope, don't you? You know, when you're a teenager, you feel like, I know what good and bad is. I know what joy and sadness. I know the full extent. I've raised teenagers. I was a teenager. Their world, my world, when I was that age, can fall apart over things that the parent knows is not that big a deal, but to them, it's everything. You've got to let me go. You just don't understand. You know, and you don't want to be rude and say, these friends you're wanting to go do that with, you're not going to know them in 12 years. You won't even remember them. Because, you know, you may be wrong. You don't want to be wrong. But we've been there, but then we've also understood the feeling. Think about our Heavenly Father. We're like His teenagers sometimes. I'd love to be a teenager again. Well, for a moment or two. We'd like to be young, but with the knowledge of being the age we are, right? We don't get to do that. No rewind button. But, oh, Lord, if You could just hear us out and understand our anguish. But see, He does understand it. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities, your anxieties, your fears. He's affected by that. You know how you are as a parent? Like, I wish I could just say yes to everything. But, you know, there's that balance you've got to strike. You'd love to be the popular one, you know, and your mom said no, the dad's going to say yes. You'd love to be able to play that card. You can't do it all the time because you know it's not the healthiest thing. And so you have to say that, can't do it, you can't do it. I just don't feel good about it. And you have to be the no parent, and that's not a fun thing, not fun at all. Yes, Isaiah 40 and 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. It doesn't sound heroic. Think about the hero's waiting room. What are you doing? We're waiting on the Lord. Really? Yeah. If you only knew what happened when you wait on the Lord. What happened? Revival. He revives your strength. He renews who you are. He lifts you back up to where you fell off and thought you were never going to be that great good again. He puts you back where you are, back where you were. He equips you to walk and run. He equips you to fight. So yes, I'm going to wait on the Lord, and because He's going to renew me, He's going to renew my mind, and I'm going to be able to fight in the battle again. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint, because they're going to do what they haven't been able to do before. See, this is not talking about just going to go around the mountain again or go around Jericho again. This is saying you're going to be on a level you've never been because you waited on God. And when you wait on the Lord, He will renew you. He will take that part of your mind that's cast down. He will build you back up. Amen. He will build it back up. He will re-encourage you again. See, if it was easy, there wouldn't be a scripture for it. If it was easy, we wouldn't need the Bible. But see, we have scriptures, principles, blessings from God to help us when we truly are to the point where we can't see it. And I'll tell you something. You are not going to always be able to believe what God's about to do. And God's not going to disqualify you because you can't believe it. No. That's why we must hold each other up. We must ask for prayer. Pray for me. Help me. And your brother or your sister is going to hold you up and pray for you. And God will come through because of their faith. Do you think Lazarus was in the tomb going, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe? No. He was pretty dead. They didn't say how bad he smelled, but they said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he stinks. It meant we don't have the money to have him perfumed or anything. It's going to be bad when you have the stone pulled back. They felt like he loved him so much he wants to see him. No, I want you to see him. But Lazarus wasn't in there saying, come on, Lord, just get a little closer. Roll the stone away. I'm in here, but you got to speak. No, dead. I've been there before. You have too. When I've had to say, I need you to pray for me. Why? There is a place where your faith can be so damaged that you don't have the will, you don't have the foresight to see your way out. That's why we need to be a part of a group of people that can say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Amen. I'm going to give us a chance in a moment to gather up here and we're going to pray. So I'm going to hurry to my last points here. In the final analysis, we must be masters of waiting. After spending about 6 months by the brook, the Lord told him to go there, being fed twice a day by ravens. That was just to show him the water supply has been cut off, the brook dried up. Now go to Zarephath. And there's a widow woman there that is going to sustain you. And the one that was going to sustain him, I'm sure he thought this, probably the lady on the edge of town, her husband's a mayor of the city. She lives in a big mansion. But no, it was a widow woman that was picking up sticks and said, we're about to die after we eat our last meal, sir. And the prophet said to her, just fix me one first, and then, you know, then you God will take care of you. And she did. She went and got him some water, and he drank. And he said, just make that cake and give it. First, she had to make it, and she had to give it. You think, my, that must have been difficult to give that cake. But see, she was ready to die. So one more cake's not going to make a lot of difference. And I think there must have been something in his demeanor and the power of his words that she felt, this man is a man of God, and I'm going to trust him. And in faith, she made him a cake, and he ate it. And when she looked in the barrel, for the next 3 years, every day, there was meal and there was oil, oil and meal, every day for 3 years. And in between all that, her son died, but Elijah went up there and raised him up and brought him back down and said, here's your son. That's a great benefit, isn't it? He can bring the dead to life. See, I tell you, we become professionals at waiting and forget that in that time of waiting, the way that God is sustaining us is a miracle all to itself. I've gone through things before and I've just paused and just kind of took inventory and realized, Lord, the fact that I'm even in my right mind is awesome. You're with me. Your rod and your staff comforts me. Oh, yes. God is great. He's awesome. And he can reach back. And he can give back the ground you've lost. He can add it all back to you. At rallies, revivals, camps, you know, we respond to preaching with a lot of emotion. I love it too. I do. I love that. But after dismissal, sometimes we go to our homes where, you know, if we're not careful, we'll forget about the oil and the meal. We'll forget about the miraculous part. That was a good message. Then we may forget about it. But, you know, the first day of that oil and meal was no doubt very exciting. But after a while, it was just life. It was just life. When I first got the Holy Ghost, my best friend came to the door and I just said, I got the Holy Ghost. I was just so excited to tell him. He goes, great, that's awesome. What is that? He did, what is that? And I didn't know anything else. I didn't know what to tell him. I was 8 years old. You know, I didn't have a degree. But I realized that that feeling I had was not constant. What I was feeling was the contrast of not having it and then having it. Wow. Kind of like wishing you could fly. You know, kids are that way. You always wish you could fly. If we were playing Batman, Superman, I always wanted to be Superman because he could fly. Neither one of us could fly, but, you know, that's the one I would pretend to be because he could fly. But you don't see birds up there going, this is awesome. They just fly. After a while, flying is just normal. And after a while, the meal and the oil is just normal. It's miraculous, yes. That's what this Holy Ghost is. It's miraculous, yes. But the reason the Lord just doesn't leave us for just like a 3-year even keel of just The Holy Ghost. He takes us through things that proves that what we have is something that's supernatural. It's above ordinary. And we go through the valley and understand, He carried me through the valley. He took me over the still waters. He took me and laid me down in the green pasture. He was a God of all the things I go through. But look, I came out unscathed when I went into the battlefield. He's a mighty God. Waiting doesn't get enough airtime to me. It really doesn't get enough mention. Waiting on God is an amazing thing because it's on God that we are waiting. And we're all waiting right now for something. Amen. Every one of us, if I ask for a show of hands, you got something you've been praying about. Let me see a show of hands. You got something you've been praying about lately? Every hand is raised, by the way. Every hand, because we all have a need that we're praying about, and some of our needs are huge, some of them are, you know, the more mundane, but please don't ever stop asking God to help you. Let's stand as I come to a close. 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hey, it is a battlefield out there sometimes. It is. It can be brutal. It can be trying. That's why it's called trials. And the outward man, oh Lord, it's the outward man. It's this guy, the flesh. Perishes. It hurts. We have anguish. We have sadness, disappointment. But it's the inward man, thank God, is renewed day by day. See, it's the inward man where resides the Holy Spirit of God. If you've received the Holy Ghost, that inward man, that's where the Spirit of God resides. And that inward man is the one that's keeping us above. Its buoyance allows us to go through the fire and go through the water. Amen. Let's gather to the front, not long, but let's gather down here. And I want to confirm, I want us to confirm or affirm what we've heard. And seal it in our minds and in our hearts today. Because I want us to walk out with a renewed understanding and appreciation for the spiritual things of God. Lord, we've waited and we've waited and we've waited. And Lord, you said those that wait on you are going to renew their strength, that we would mount up with wings as eagles. Lord, we'd walk and not be weary. We'll run, not faint. Dear God, we are those who truly do wait on you tonight. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you let your Spirit confirm today your love for us, your care for us. Lord, you know who we are. You've got our names. You know our tomorrows. Oh God, you're well able. Well able, Lord, well able. Let's sing this.